So every Sunday morning at the early service, we pray the right one Eucharistic prayer. And as part of that prayer, we pray these words, "And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us, and we in him." Holy Communion is a mystery. It's a mystery of union. It's a mystery of communion. It's a mystery of relationship. It's a mystery that can only be fully known through experience. And so when we speak to it, we allude to it using metaphors and symbols. We talk about that beautiful divine indwelling, and that abiding relationship is the essence of the Eucharist in the Gospel of John. We talked last week about how the Gospel of John has some basic premises, and one is that seeing is believing, and Jesus came down to reveal the glory of God to us so that we could see and come to belief, which is to enter into this divine, intimate, and transformative relationship. Throughout the Gospel of John, we are continually being called deeper and deeper into that divine, indwelling, abiding, transformative relationship with Christ. In John chapter 6, is the Eucharistic chapter in the Gospel of John. Unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we do not have the account of the Last Supper. Rather, John takes the Eucharist and situates it in the life and the ministry and the teachings of Jesus. He talks about what it is to truly partake of the Eucharist and to truly celebrate the Eucharist. We hear these words today: "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." And we have to get through the graphic images to understand the significance of these words, that Jesus is offering the whole of his life to us. The whole of his life. For us. That phrase, "flesh and blood," that may sound so graphic to us, is actually based on a Hebrew idiom which referred to the whole person: heart, mind, spirit, feelings, hopes, dreams, fears, concerns, everything. And that's what Jesus was offering to us so that we might have life. His heart, his soul, his being, his love. In Jesus, the whole of God meets the whole of us to love us, to redeem us, and to sustain us. And these references to flesh and blood are put into this chapter to allude to the bread and the wine of the Eucharistic ritual, so we knew what John was talking about. John is a complex, layered gospel, and it is the most mystical of all the gospels. And so John is not offering us just a memorial meal, but is to drawing us into the mystery of what it is to live Eucharistically. To participate in the Eucharist is nothing less than to participate in the life of Jesus, to consume him, to be transformed by Jesus. This is how we receive life. Not merely by just eating the bread and drinking the wine together, but by giving the whole of ourselves fully into relationship with Jesus and with each other. Jesus relied on these metaphors such as the bread of life and the eating and the drinking to convey the depth of this love and this union. The phrase "the bread of life" is significant In the Hebrew culture, they often would speak of someone eating the bread of joy or eating the bread of pain. One who had eaten the bread of pain had not just witnessed and known and understood pain. That person had experienced pain so deeply that he had ingested it and digested it in a way that it had transformed the very fiber of his being. And that's the essence of Jesus' invitation to eat the bread of life, to enter into this relationship of mutual indwelling so deeply that it transforms the very fiber of our beings. And in doing so, transforms the way in which we relate to all of creation. That's what it means to abide, to dwell. Jesus offers himself to us, and we empty ourselves in order to receive him. We dwell in him, and he dwells in us. The mystics referred to this intimate, transformative relationship as mystical union. It's an aspiration of the spiritual journey to rest once again where we belong in the heart of God. We abide in love, and love abides in us. Love, that powerful, generative, creative, life-giving force that pulsates through the universe, becomes the ground of our being, the ground of our relationships, the motivating force in our lives. This abiding relationship with Christ transforms us and changes the way that we live in the world, the way we relate to God and to each other and to all of creation. It equips us to pattern our lives after the life and ministry of Jesus, and through our love and service for one another, we become the body of Christ. We manifest the love and the presence of the risen Christ, and we reveal the glory of God so that all who see may come to believe and to abide in that love as well. To celebrate the Eucharist, we offer all of ourselves, our souls, our bodies. To eat the bread and drink the wine is to take the being and the love of Jesus into our bodies, into our hearts, into our souls. The bread and wine are given and received. The life of Jesus is given and received. Our lives are given and received. And through the mystery of the Eucharist, we are united in love and receive eternal and abundant life through Christ. This union in love is common to all the perennial traditions. I was reading a book up at Tahoe this weekend about the Sioux Indians, and they were talking about the sun dance. And the sun dance is their sacrament that is similar to our celebration of the Eucharist. And they describe it in this way. This ritual is a prayer of the whole community. For those who dance, it is union with the Great Spirit. Afterwards, the sun dance continues as a spiritual vibration in the heart. It is the symbol of our connection with God. If the divine presence dwells in our hearts, we are attached to God by a golden ray. The sun dance attaches us to the Great Spirit, and those who have attended it can never forget it. So too, the Eucharist is our prayer of the whole community. And it joins our flesh to the flesh of Jesus, our heart to the heart of God, our soul to the love that pulsates through the universe. We give and we receive. We empty ourselves and we are filled. We come to the table hungry and we leave satiated. For those who share the bread and the wine, the Eucharist continues as a spiritual vibration in our hearts, connecting us to God and to each other. And those who offer themselves into Holy Communion can never forget it. So come, eat and drink this promise of a loving God who promises life and healing and redemption. Come receive the real food of Christ's own body, the real drink of Christ's own blood, that we might have support living in this wounded and broken world. Come meet the God who meets us exactly where we are. Come meet the God who offers us not just meaning, but life itself. Come that we may be filled with Christ's grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in you, and you in him.